Welcome again to the podcast and to another great day to spend time in the Lord's presence and in His Word. My name is Joanne. It is the 25th day of February 2021. So, good morning. I'm on my fourth cup of coffee. And I'll tell you what, it's just been a wonderful morning in the presence of the Lord. I am always amazed. I'm always amazed when I come and He has something new that He's wanting to say. And He really wanted me to talk about Him today. So I did. And He is the God of exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That's found in Ephesians 3:20. And I just stayed on that scripture through the whole radio program. It's just like there was so much more and more and more that He wanted to speak to us. And I mean, I do serve the God. I serve the God of exceedingly. I serve the God of abundantly. I serve the God of more than all that I can ask or think. Because, you know what, I come to Him each day expecting to find Him, expecting to hear Him. And it's not because I'm great, it's because He is. And He wants His people to know today that there's no lack in Him. There is no lack of abundance. There is no lack of resources. He's not the God of not enough. He's the God of always more than enough. And He's in this with us, and He's not going to leave. And so just let your faith come to a higher level in what you believe about God today. I believe that's exactly what He wanted to say to us and more. You know, we come to Him as royalty. It says that we are a royal priesthood before Him. We're not paupers coming to our Father. We are His children, His sons and daughters, and He has promised to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I think part of what He's dealing with today is the fear of coming to Him in a close and intimate relationship, you know, where we can approach Him with boldness, as the scripture says. I talked about how my children, when they come into my house, they can go to the refrigerator and get what they want. You know, they can go to the cabinet and get the food that they want because, you know, all that I have is theirs. They don't come into my house and say, "Oh, mother, may I please have a slice of bread?" No, they just go get it. They know what they have access to. And I believe it actually honors the Father when we know what we have access to and we know how to get it. I mean, we are comfortable in His presence to be as sons and daughters, not afraid of offending our Father. So He wants us to have that kind of closeness and intimate relationship with Him. It's not presumptuous. It's not pride. I mean, here's a question. How do we become fearless and bold in God's presence? Or even, if I can say this without offending, how do we become powerful in God's presence without crossing the line of pride and presumption and getting arrogant and cocky in His presence? I mean, there's just that healthy balance of reverence, respect, and fear for Him, but at the same time, knowing what His Word says about who He is and who we are in Him. And I thought about David. I thought about him showing up at that battle line, that young kid, and he had the boldness and the audacity to step in front of the army. And I mean, he even stepped out in front of King Saul. He went to King Saul first. He honored the authority, but yet he had the faith to be himself, not put on Saul's armor, but to step out in front of an army and confront Goliath and win. Okay, because he knew that God was at his back. And how do we use that same fearlessness and boldness in the presence of our Father? Well, I believe it's because we're willing to fight the battles of the Lord. You know, David was offended that this enemy army was defying the armies of the living God. And so there was a holy boldness that rose up in him that was righteous. And so he stepped out fearless and he flung the stone and it hit Goliath in the forehead. And we read over and over in the Psalms where David says, "The Lord is my rock." I don't believe that's the rock he's talking about standing on. I believe it's about that rock that was in the sling. You know, that God was willing to back up David's faith, that when he slung that stone, the Lord says, "I'm with you. I'm the God who is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think." So to him be glory and praise forever and ever. The verse of scripture that's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says that if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus, because he was obedient to the Lord and he laid down his life for the sins of the world, he fully followed what the Father had for him to do. Therefore, he inherited everything. Everything belongs to Jesus. He won it all of the world, all of the power, the glory, all of the heavens, all of the treasures of the kingdom. They're Jesus's. And then here it says in the scriptures that we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that we get to reign with him, even another scripture says, as being an heir with him. I mean, that's just given to us because we have received him as our Lord and Savior. Does that seem like a stretch of faith for you, that you have actually inherited everything that Jesus inherited? Wow, that's a lot. I tell the story about, you know, if there's a wealthy set of parents and they pass on, I can guarantee that the children will show up to claim their inheritance. Okay, just plain and simple. They have a measure of boldness to show up at the attorney's office at the reading of that will to claim what belongs to them. Because legally, it's theirs, right? Why would that be a stretch for anyone in the kingdom of God to know what is legally ours and to show up and to claim our inheritance? I mean, Jesus paid for it already. He paid for it in his blood. The Father paid for us to have the kingdom, that all the things that he brings us at the resources of the kingdom. Okay. He paid for it with the blood of his son. And as I said, when I say resources, I'm not talking about just like financial wealth and riches, okay? Although God is those things as well. He possesses all those things as well. And he even gives those, okay? But, you know, I'm also talking about the faith of the kingdom, the power, the authority that we're supposed to walk in. You know, to lay hands on the sick, to see them recover, to raise the dead, okay? All of these resources, the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus that has been handed to us, you know, it's up to us to know what God has given to us, freely given, and to use our faith to boldly possess those things, okay? Does that offend God? Is that pride? Is that presumption? Or is it just believing that what his word says is true? Because, you know, Paul wrote these things, and I don't think he was bluffing us at all. Because I don't think in our hearts that there's a question of whether or not God possesses it. We know he has everything. I think the question is he really willing to give that? I mean, you know, if you've got a very wealthy father that has just all the wealth that he could ever need, and then he has a son that he gives nothing to, I mean, is that really who you think our father is? Or here, I'll just give you a little piece of something. Or is the father, you know, like the prodigal son's father, where he says to the older son, "All I have is yours." Okay? That son, the older son, he didn't know what he had access to. You know, he could have gone and gotten a goat and had a feast with his friends. He just didn't understand the relationship, the generosity of his father. So yes, God is willing to give, you know, what he can entrust us with. Maybe the other question is, you know, do I think I'm worthy of that? And, you know, when we love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength, it's almost like we know we're in relationship with Him. And we trust the Father's heart. He can trust our heart because our motives are pure, okay? Yeah, we're in process too. I mean, I know that he's still working out some of those nitty-gritty details in our lives, making us more like Jesus. But we can trust that we have a good, good Father. Phrase that has been thrown around for 2 or 3 decades, you know, God is good. And then you answer all the time. And, you know, that can almost become cliche if we don't use that. We know it, but do we use it? And do we step into those moments trusting in the goodness of God, that He will be to us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? So here's something that I talked a lot about today. It's what we believe about God determines the level of faith we have. It determines the level of faith we will walk in, but what we believe about God determines the way that we will relate to Him, okay? So, I mean, there's a lot of analogies in Scripture. Sheep and shepherd. I think I talked about these last week, you know. We follow a shepherd. Servant and master. We obey what He says. Children and a father. Friends with God, bride and bridegroom. So you see that, you know, there's increasing levels of intimacy with God. And God wants to move us into increasing levels of intimacy with Him. If you look at the book of Genesis, the Bible begins with a marriage. If you look at the book of Revelation, it ends with a marriage. Okay, so this bride and bridegroom relationship is meant to be a very intimate exchange with the Lord. I mean, think about, you know, the love between a husband and a wife. They can exchange a glance and they know what each other is thinking. Okay? Have you locked eyes with Jesus? Can you lock eyes with Jesus? Can you look Him in the eye with confidence and know, you know, what he's thinking and what He wants to say? Because if we're in a place of fear with God, like the unhealthy fear, you know, that's not part of a marriage relationship. It shouldn't be. I mean, if there's an unhealthy fear that a bride has of her groom or a wife has of her husband, then there needs to be some repentance of something going on in the marriage. There shouldn't be that kind of an unhealthy fear where you're afraid of making him mad, or, you know, that he's going to lash out, or I don't know what. So look at this verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I mean, what do you do with this level of intimacy with God, where He says, "You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love? How much better than wine is your love?" And I mean, this is very intimate language. And if someone was to pour their most intimate expression of love to you in these words, would you just turn away and say, "Oh no, that's just too much. I can't go there. That's just too deep"? Or is the right thing to do to respond back to that? Because if you want to know how your Father in heaven really loves you, all you have to do is look at Jesus on the cross, bloodied, beaten, scourged, thorns, nails, can barely breathe. And the Father says, "This is how much I love you." And so then we respond to that best we can, you know, with an equal measure of love with our lives for Him. I mean, that's the right way to respond to love, right?
It is.
Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." I mean, we're the vessel. He fills us with himself. But this word excellence is really interesting, because in the Greek it's hyperbole. It's like hyper throwing, a throwing beyond. And right now, God wants to throw us beyond our current level of faith. Okay? It's like getting in a catapult, and he just wants to sail us to a whole new place in him, beyond what we know how to contend for. Okay? I say, yes, God, bring it. You know, throw me beyond my current level of faith into something that is exceedingly abundantly beyond all that I could ask or think. And something that stood out about the verse, you know, where it says, beyond all we could ask or think. I mean, God has thoughts towards us right now that we haven't even thought of. I mean, we think we've gone deep in intimacy with God. He says, I'm deeper still. Or, you know, we think we've gone far with God. He says, I'm further. You know, there's always so much more. And I kind of got excited, because it's like, okay, God is thinking something right now that I haven't even thought of. And I believe he's wanting to release those things on the body of Christ, what he's about to do or what he's going to do in our lives. And my response is what Mary responded, "Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me, Lord God, according to all that you are thinking. Reveal that to me, you know? Father, what are you thinking? Let me know your thoughts." Might scare us. You never know if we knew all that he was thinking. So, you know, every day I show up, and like I'm going to show up again tomorrow, you know, to do the radio program. I'll end up doing a podcast probably. But, you know, I expect God to show up too. I expect him to have something to say. That's where my level of faith is with him, because I found him so faithful. I know I have access to the refrigerator. Okay. I know that I am a co-heir with Christ. And I believe his word. I believe that he is who his word says he is. I believe that I am who his word says I am. And what I believe about him determines how I relate to him. I want to lock eyes with him. I want to exchange that glance, you know, just one look in his eyes, and I know what he's thinking, you know, and it's like, yeah, we got this. Let's do it. And I mean, I believe that God wants all of his people to have that kind of boldness and confidence with him. And it doesn't offend him. It actually brings him more honor and glory to have that depth of relationship with his people, you know, to where they're not afraid of him in an unhealthy way, as we talked about. Let's see if I've covered all the scriptures here. It's kind of neat just to hang out on one verse. I kind of like that. All right, so we've done that one. We're co-heirs, the treasures in earthen vessels. Let's go back to Ephesians 3:19. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." You know, sometimes in order to grab onto the more, we need to let go of what was, okay, or what we're holding on to. Maybe we're holding on to an old mindset about who God is. Think about the Apostle John. He was likely the youngest of the apostles, but he's the one who was leaning upon Jesus's breast at the supper that last night. And I mean, that was the level of intimacy that John had with Jesus, that he could just kind of relax in his arms. Man. And you know, John was the one who called himself three times, "I'm the disciple who Jesus loves." And that wasn't pride. He wasn't afraid of offending God by writing that. He knew where he stood with God. God loves me. God loves me. I'm the disciple he loves. You know, the disciple, he was the one out of the 12 who was at the foot of the cross while all the other 11 ran. Okay. He had that level of intimacy, fearlessness in Jesus' presence. Wow, we could go there for a minute. John wasn't afraid. He knew that when he was with Jesus, he was protected. Okay? Praise the Lord. But anyway, sometimes we got to let go of our old mindsets. Maybe we have to let go of what we've currently been doing in the Lord to grab onto the next thing that he has. You know, sometimes he will have us lay some things down in order to take up new things. I've been through this many times. But I can tell you this, anytime we lay something down, whether it's a false belief, to grab onto the excellence, the throwing beyond, that God's resources, that he's not the God of lack, that he's going to be more than enough for us. You know what? What he has for us is always greater than where we are right now. So he just wants us to not be afraid to let go and to trust him, to trust that he is good. Okay? So I just bless you today. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are, whatever level of relationship they are with you, whatever they're believing about you, about themselves. Father, I ask that you would just set them in the cup of that catapult and throw them beyond their current level into greater faith, into greater freedom, God, into greater blessings, greater anointings, God. Greater authority in the kingdom, greater power and boldness to walk in, God. Throw them beyond their current level of faith where you want them. And Father, have your way in our lives. We love you. We thank you so much, Jesus. We can lock eyes with you. Thank you for this intimacy. Thank you for this love. Jesus, we don't want to turn away from your greatest expression of love. Yeah, we'll take it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, until next time. You have a great day.